The Gainsaying of Korah is a title of today's exhortation taken from Numbers chapter 16 and verses 1 to 38. We have three thoughts here pertaining to Moses, how he humbled himself before the Lord when the rebellion took place, and how the Lord put in his heart a righteous anger to vindicate, to speak on behalf of the Lord concerning the man who rebelled against the Lord, and how the righteous judgment of God came upon this man. First 1 to 11, 12 to 17, and 18 to 35. Jude 11 spoke concerning those who perished in the gainsaying of Korah. It was a sad moment in Israel's history when this took place. You see, Israel was at its peak. The health of the children of Israel were extremely good. The psalmist says there was not one fever among the tribes. Psalm 105, verse 37b. So when the Lord brought them out of Egypt, God also gave them good health and strength. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one fever person among their tribes. At least we know from the scriptures that there were 603,550 men who came out. And now there were 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation. In other words, they are somebody, men of renown, would be killed in an earthquake that the Lord will send to swallow them up in death. And then after that, there was a murmuring among the camp, and the Lord sent a plague. 14,700 more would be killed because of the murmuring. Moses and Aaron quickly burned the incense to stop the plague. But it was the plague has already spread itself, and 14,700 died. When we look at the judgment of God, O.T. Spence observed, in the Old Testament history, there are certain things that matters and God judges. Right? The name of the Lord, when the name of the Lord is blasphemed, when the law of God is intruded, when the high priest of God is being violated. Here, the example was the king Uzziah, who went into the tabernacle and attempted to give sacrifice. It was a work of the priest, and the Lord immediately struck him with leprosy. And the other is the Day of Atonement, where the high priest is supposed to go in to the Holy of Holies to minister and sprinkle the blood sacrifice. And, you know, it is said that if he has some unholy thoughts, when he went in, well, a rope is tied to him, and if the Lord struck him, then they will pull him out. It's a frightening scenario. Then someone else has to go in to complete the work. The ark, when Uzzah touched the ark, immediately he was struck dead. And then the candlestick, in Daniel chapter 5, the man with the fingers on the wall in the king, and written on by the hand, that was during the time of Belshazzar. And then the incense, here is described the incense, whereby the Moses challenged the 250 princes, right, that if truly the Lord has called them to do this work of the tabernacle on behalf of Aaron and his sons, then so be it. But if not, then let the Lord show it. And true enough, fire came down and devoured the 250 men. The 250 men who were the sons of Korah, or the Kohathites. Kohathites are one of the, they belong to one of the tribe who was helping in the work of the tabernacle, but they were not those who were offered the sacrifice. So when this happened, the Lord sent fire to devour this man. And so here, Worsby observed, well, he says that our text shows us that there were, in Numbers 27 verse 3, that there were other men involved in the rebellion. It was a nationwide conspiracy. And the Kohathites carried the tabernacle furniture when Israel marched to a new location. So their job was to camp on the south side of the tabernacle across Gad, Simeon, and Reuben. And so this could possibly, Wesby said, explain why Korah was able to get Dathan, Abiram, and On, three Reubenites, to join in his crusade, right? Because they were sitting near him, near them, they were there, encamped nearby. Possibly they have spoken to them. Whenever you find complaining and rebelling among God's people, there's always a noted reason and a hidden reason, right? Korah's public complaint was that Moses and Aaron were running things and not giving the people opportunity for input. He wanted more democracy in the camp. After all, the Lord dealt in the entire camp, and all the people were a king of priests. So if everyone is a priest, then why can't everyone have a say? Why can't everyone have a word? So who were Moses and Aaron to elevate themselves above everybody else? So this was the stated reason. But the hidden reason was be further observed. Well, he says, Korah wanted the Levites to have the same privileges as Aaron and his sons. Korah wasn't satisfied to be assisting the priests. He wanted to be a priest. So here, that's where the rebellion came from, right? And so as we think about it, he further observe, whether it's in the ancient camp of Israel or in modern city, no society can function without subordination. Somebody has to be in charge. Parents have authority in the home, teachers in the classroom, managers in the factory or office, and civil servants in the city or nation. When this kind of order breaks down, then society is in serious trouble. God has chosen Moses to be the leader of the nation and Aaron to be the high priest, and to resist this arrangement was to rebel against the will of God and bring serious division to the camp. And this you see going on over and over again, right, because of the fallen nature. But this text serves as a warning and an example for us to see the heinous nature of such rebellion and such what we call uprising. So the selfish desire for greatness and authority is a common theme in scriptures. Whether it was Korah opposing Moses and Aaron, Absalom defying his father, Adonijah claiming the crown, the disciples arguing over which of them was the greatest, Diotrephes loving to have preeminence in the local church. Well, here you see, words we observe. Yet the most important place in the Christian life is the place of God's choice, the place He has prepared for us and prepared us to fill. And so here it's important that we realize what God wants us to do. And to do what God wants us to do, that's the best thing, isn't it? That we know our role and we do it well, rather than, as you see here, such a situation occurred. So Here, when we look at service for the Lord look at our faithfulness in following Him, doing the work God wants us to do. Right? Everyone, every member of the body of Christ, God gives a spiritual gift. And God puts each one to service. And so here, each one is to do their part for the Lord's honor, for the Lord's glory. So there in the camp of Israel, right, the Kohathites, right, the man Korah was not happy. And so that began. So when this happened, verse 4 to 11 says, Moses fell on his face before the Lord. You notice that there was not any confrontation with Korah and his group of uprisers to try to change their minds, right? Because he knew that their aim was to seize the priesthood, as Worsby observed well for us, something the Lord would never permit. So the Lord would show Korah and his followers how wrong they were, and their pride will ultimately lead to their destruction. So the test Moses proposed was very simple. If Korah and his men were indeed priests acceptable to God, then let them bring their censers to the tabernacle. Now, we all know that two of the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, died, right? Because they were drunken. Remember? They were drunken and God struck them dead. God struck them dead. So it was a very sad thing within the family of Aaron. Two of the sons were struck dead because they offered strange fire. So when the challenge came from Korah to the priesthood, the test was very simple, right? The incense, bring the incense. So when they all brought their incense, God would later on judge them. And for Moses, what was his response? How did he respond? Right? You can see that at first it was he bowed himself to the Lord, bowed himself to the ground. He knew that on his own there was no way to debate, to reason, to talk, right, with a man, with men that is set in their hearts what they wanted to do. Frightening, isn't it? Yeah. But the Lord also gave him to meet with them. So Moses called Dathan and Abiram to come to the meeting, whereas we observe, but they refused. Right? So nothing is said about on. Perhaps he has wisely dropped out of the rebellion. But the arrogance of these two men is painful to see, Dathan and Abiram. This is, for they refuse to obey Moses, but they blame them for Israel's sin at Kadesh Barnea. And worse, they call Egypt the land of milk and honey. Right? What was Egypt? You remember? It was a place of torment. It was a place of slavery. They were in trouble, right? They were in that sense, you know, when we think about God's salvation in our lives, right? While we were still in our sins, when we are still yet undone, right? The grace of God came to us to save us. And here they said, oh, you brought us away from the land of milk and honey, and accused Moses of making himself a prince and lording it over the people. It was a very serious charge. Undoubtedly, this spiritually ignorant men, as we observe, had envy in their hearts and wanted to take over the leadership themselves. Again, Moses didn't argue with the rebels. He prayed to the Lord and asked him to vindicate his servant. Moses' anger wasn't selfish irritation. It was righteous indignation of a man of integrity who sought only the glory of the Lord. So the righteous anger that God's people ought to feel when sinners defy the will of God and tempt others to sin, well, that's really bad. That's the way of the world. Right? So here you see Moses' response. He had to speak to them and to issue them the warning to back off, but they did not. So the next morning, verse 18 to 35, describes the judgment. The next morning, Korah and his followers showed up with their censers and stood with Moses and Aaron at the entrance of the tabernacle, while Dathan and Abiram stood with their families at the doors of their tents on the south side of the tabernacle. Here again, Rusby observed well. He says, "We can imagine the awesome silence that prevailed. Then the glory of the Lord appeared, and the voice of the Lord spoke. The hour of God's judgment has arrived." Moses and Aaron, being true leaders, immediately fell on their faces before the Lord and interceded for the nation. "Why should all the people die because of the sins of this man?" Moses frequently had to intercede for the people. But they probably didn't appreciate what he did for them. On two occasions, God was ready to destroy the entire nation, but Moses interceded to save them. So God warned the Jews, "Move away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram." And then suddenly, the earth opened up and swallowed up these evil men and their household. And fire from God destroyed the 250 self-appointed priests. God made it very clear to the Jews that they were to accept his appointed leaders and to respect their authority. And it's a dangerous thing, as Worsby well put it, for people to challenge God's order and promote themselves to become leaders. They not only rebel against the Lord, but against the Lord and to the detriment of their own lives. So here, as we observe in this sad scenario in the life of Israel, we see that why do we want to look for these things, vie for these things, right? Only the Lord can give. If the Lord doesn't give, then let us be willing to just be willing to know the will of God and settle and do the will of God. This is the will of God for us. And when we are willing to obey Him, serve Him, subsist under Him, then there will be peace, there will be joy, there will be much blessings from the Lord, because the Lord takes care of us. He knows what the end from the beginning. When He brings us to Him, and so we thank the Lord for this text. We will continue further the next time. Now let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy grace. Strengthen us by Thy Holy Spirit to understand this text for Thy own honor and glory. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.